So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Happy Thursday. Welcome in. It's Grant and Danny live from our Half Street studios in the Navy Yard in D.C. It's December 18th, 2025. We are officially 1 week from Christmas. We've got a great show planned for you, and we'll take you all the way up to 6:30 this evening. Mark Zuckerman on the Nationals at 3. They've got a new general manager. He is only 31 years old. He will fit in well as an analytics mind over at Nationals Park. At 5 o'clock, Jimmy Kemski covers the Eagles. We'll scout the opponent with him. We're 2 days away from a Saturday night tilt with Philly at Northwest Stadium. And at 6 o'clock, Ben Standing with the latest on the Commanders, including, Danny, some breaking news this afternoon that Laremy Tunsil is out. He will not play. Brandon Coleman gets an opportunity to fill in for him at left tackle.
And I think that's good, honestly. Not that Laremy Tunsil's hurt. That's not something you root for, obviously. But remember, Brandon Coleman was kind of a rising star. This was one of their, look at how smart we are. Look at what we found. We unearthed a starting NFL offensive lineman in the third round. People weren't sure if he's a guard, if he's a tackle. The answer might be yes to whatever it is. A pretty successful year one, kind of forgotten about. Again, he's the extra lineman sometimes. That's sort of what his role has moved into. I'm actually anxious to see him and sort of, you know, see where we're at on that and what his role might be next year.
If you're watching the show, which you can do every day on 106.7 The Fan's YouTube channel, Danny's in a jacket and a pocket square and very red pants. Looks like somebody's got a holiday party tonight.
That's right. There are two holiday parties tonight. The Odyssey, which is one part Audacious and one part an Odyssey. And then my wife's holiday party. You never guess which one I'm going to.
I'm going to say you're going to your wife's
holiday party. That's right. And it was interesting because there was a conflict and then there wasn't. It was like pretty obvious which one I was going to right away. It was like, well, you know, oh, let's see. It got rescheduled to the, it doesn't matter. Okay, we're going to yours. You got it.
At least you have a new audience to do bits with. I feel like that's a good thing for you. You get to walk around. You get to try out some of your old stories.
Yeah.
The stuff that we've heard a lot.
Yeah, you got, your guys have, I think, have exhausted everything. I've been trying a couple things on Wes. He's like, listen, man, I've heard it too.
16 minutes into the holiday party tonight, if we were a fly on the wall or had some type of drone overhead, you're going to be doing, he's there, bits.
Like, yeah, yeah. So we hit this umpire, right? We're at South Carolina. Yeah, I'll be, you know, I'll tell that story. Tell the time that we couldn't beat a team in the game. And so then they were like, hey, let's try to beat you guys in a fight. And the whole thing was a mess. Time I got plunked. Oh, I played against Drew Henson. Ever tell you that story?
You look good.
Thanks, buddy.
Look good, play good tonight. get out there and impress, help the wife.
Some good appies, right?
Exactly.
I'm just arm candy tonight, brother.
I'll bet you they're appetizers at her holiday party.
Respectfully, yeah.
Probably pretty good.
It'll be just fine. It's at like a fancy pants restaurant that like I wouldn't normally go to on a casual night.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's like that.
This is going to be a good time for mm-hmm. everybody then. I mentioned Tunsil's out. We'll get more into this in detail, but when they ruled him out, Dan Quinn did say they expect that he could be back next week, that they don't think this will linger. And rather than just saying they may shut him down, he kind of went the opposite way with it and said, hopefully we'll see him next week. To that, I would say why? Again, you only got 3 games left. So after this one, there's only 2 left. You shut your quarterback down. You've got a tackle who gets hurt a bunch, who is playing through an injury, and there's only 2 games after this one. I'm ready to just get a look at Brandon Coleman here once and for all. He even said in the press conference it's been a little bit tough for Coleman because one of the few positions where they've had any kind of durability all year has been tackle and guard, where there's 4 guys that have played and he hasn't been able to crack the code because there hasn't been an opening. Well, now there is. You can kind of just crowbar him into this thing like Harry and Marv getting into the house on Home Alone and get him 2 games worth of action coming up. But it sounds like they're hopeful Tunsil could come back next week.
Yeah, I think you can make that decision at that point. I'm hoping they lean towards what you just said, though, where you go, okay, I'm glad he can come back. That's good. It means he's healthy. Have a seat. Or let's rotate. Let's have you play a series and then get Brandon Coleman in, and or let's do something to that effect. Again, this is a – when you recognize what these games are, and I know that that's not how football players think and that's not how football coaches think. It's how do we gain that extra yard, that play this week, and it's all about – the toughness in the brotherhood, hit the bell. We got to do it all together. We have to be in it together, blah, 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 blah. If you can recognize how empty calories these games are, so all you're doing is basically putting lipstick on a pig, let's put the lipstick away. Let's save it for a brighter day when we actually have a hot date. Let's sit Laramie Tunsil, please.
We can open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067. We're going to go through some of the things we do care about the rest of the way. Reasons to watch, so to speak. But I am actually interested in finding out why you guys will keep watching. Yesterday, early in the show, we asked, if you have tickets, are you still going to games? A lot of people said no. If you're a fan of this team, are you still going to lock in and watch every single snap? Many people said no. In fact, it was one of our polls of the day this week. But for the people that will be going out to Northwest Stadium or that will continue to watch, the diehards, the marks that are so important and so necessary to keeping this thing afloat is one of the powerful teams in town and one of the more important teams in the NFL. What is your primary reason to keep watching at this point? 800-636-1067. I jotted a bunch down, so I'll run through them here, and then you see if you can add anything to this list. First thing for me, I think you'll care less about, but this is always just an interesting tell to me. Does your team check out on you when the season is lost? Or do they sprint through the finish line? I think it is a really significant data point about culture and coaching. So as an example, we just watched the Miami Dolphins play a terrible game against the Pittsburgh Steelers and lose on Monday Night Football. But the fact is, if you watch that game, or if you've watched them recently, the Dolphins came in on, I believe it was a 3-game winning streak, and actually played pretty well at a lot of positions. They were physical in a cold weather game in the snow in Pittsburgh. They were violent defensively, running around, played pretty inspired football, I thought. They didn't get enough production out of the quarterback position. Their offense stunk, and eventually they lost fairly handily. But that game as a data point to me would have been positive, not negative, about the health of the program under Mike McDaniel. And I think the last month has been that way. Whereas when I'm in Minnesota sitting next to you and Darius watching with Kondori and Murad as the Commanders get blanked 31-0 by the Vikings, I'm worrying big picture about everything. And then you watch the next week and the Giants are bad and did everything they could to not win, but at least the effort was there. There's a binary you can say, is this team invested and playing football in a way that shows that they care about making their coach look good or not? And there have been plenty of days this year where the answer's been no. But I thought the Giants game, the answer was yes, and I will watch that. You've got 3 games left. One of them, you might actually get the Eagles backups because they're going to have wrapped up the East and they're probably not competing for much more than that. Some seeding, right? But they're not getting a bye. So how hard are Dan Quinn's players actually playing? That is the first thing I always take note of at the end of these seasons.
I think that's fair to do as a metric. It's not something I dismiss entirely. It's not, but you're right. It's not something that I'm totally gung-ho about as like the most critical data point, but it is one that's noteworthy, right? Because especially I think it's harder when you go, okay, there's no Tunsil, no Jaden Daniels. Now you guys play hard. I do think that's a tougher ask for any coach. It's more uphill there, but I do think it's a fair measure of things, right? As to say, do you still have that room?
I think we confuse players liking coaches for something that matters. How much you like a coach is irrelevant to me. How do you play for that coach is what matters. You understand what I'm saying? And so I know everybody loves Dan Quinn, just like they really liked Ron Rivera. But it got to a point where they didn't play for Ron Rivera in a way that mattered, in a way where it said they cared. For the most part, this group under Dan Quinn, they have gone out there and they show he's got the pulse of the room. You can kind of see it, I think, in Hard Knocks, although they've got a great cologne they spray on everything. It always feels...
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It feels like when you watch Hard Knocks that the team's about to go 15-2 and the commanders in their meeting rooms have been no different. Every Dan Quinn speech set to music makes you feel like they're about to get right. There's no way they could possibly lose this game. And then they go out, and they did have a 22-7 lead on the Giants, but it got close. But how they play, how they finish, just health of the program stuff, that matters to me. Number two thing I'm going to care about the rest of the way. We have beat this drum about as much as you can beat a drum. I am the little drummer boy on this. Come, they told, ba-rum-pum-pum-pum. Ben Sinnott at tight end. Does he get chances? Does he take advantage of them? Those aren't necessarily the same thing.
Ah, yeah.
He got a chance, and he did a lot with it.
It was nice.
Against the Giants on a 36-yard catch and run. Are there going to be more of those? Are we going to design something for him? Maybe a tight end screen? This episode we just did of Take Command, which dropped today, we talked a lot about Ben Sinnott. Logan made a great point watching the tape. He thought there was a play they designed almost like a tight end leak or maybe like a wheel route for him on one of those fake screens where he was the primary and then Mariota had some pressure and couldn't get to it. So he's like, I'm not sure if I buy when you say they didn't call anything for him. That was a play that was probably called for him. So if that's true, okay, congratulations, Cliff. There was a play where you tried to go to Ben Sinnott. Give me 2, 3, 4, 5 of those.
Yeah, why not?
And ideally, they don't only complete 10 and only throw 19 times in this game. But that's on my short list. I will put Johnny Newton. This is the exact same lane of the grocery store, but this is another second-year player drafted really high, 36th overall, at defensive tackle. I would like him to play more than 35% of the snaps. I would like him to be a heavier part of the rotation. If that means known commodity, excellent player Daron Payne sits a little more often, so be it. If that means Javon Kinlaw doesn't get as much run, Danny, cool.
So, yeah. So
it's Johnny fun. Newton time. Mm-hmm. It's December football and the games are irrelevant. Let's play 95. And I want to see him do better against the run. I want to see him make an impact in the passing game. That's not a big ask.
Not even a little bit. Again, this it's not as if you're saying, hey, this undrafted free agent that came into camp and turned some heads. It's not a Ja'Cory Brooks situation. This is last year's second rounder that we were told was first round value but slipped for whatever reason, .. We were promised an awful lot here. It's not time to bury him behind a couple of guys that you maybe like a little bit better. This is time to see, is this okay to start moving on from Daron Payne? Could you dangle him in the offseason to recoup some draft capital? Or do you want to have a three-headed monster? What is he? It doesn't bode well in terms of confidence in the young man that they have consistently played the Eddie Goldmans of the world, the Sheldon Days of the world as much or more kind of throughout. Whether it was a scheme fit or a design thing, it's kind of like one of those, you maybe should have known that before you bought,
yeah,
but here we are.
They might have a different way of viewing it. I would say a flawed way of viewing it. If they are just trying to play their veteran because he's a little bit better right now in week 15. But even if that's the case, even if they view the world differently than we do, which we know is true.
Yeah.
If he was that dude, if he was Aaron Donald, he's not sitting there watching. And I'm not suggesting that he is. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If they saw, you know, if he was a J.J. Watt in a practice someday last week, bet you'd get a few more snaps. So it does eventually reflect on the player with a lack of opportunity. I say the same thing about Ben Sinnott all the time. We only ever talk about what Cliff needs to do and what the coaches have to do and why they don't throw him the football,
yeah,
and why he can't get on the field even over Ertz or whatever else. When the fact is, as Jay Gruden said when he was with us this week, and I bring this up all the time, Danny, these coaches see these guys every single day at practice.
Yep.
They see them in the meeting room every single day. They see them in the hallway constantly. They're not trying to hold them back if it looks like they can help them. So at some point, it's up to you to get on the field too. It's not like the parent that goes up to the high school coordinator yelling about, why isn't my kid getting touches? I'll bet you the coordinator would probably throw it to him if he didn't drop it a bunch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I do.
It is a two to tango situation.
For sure. And you know, if they were right about everything all the time, like, and this is human nature. This is anything. But if they were 10-3, nobody's griping. When you're 3-10 and it's awful and the guy that's ahead of them isn't doing it. Now that's a position, talking Johnny Newton, where the actual two of the, what, 7 or 8 most productive players on the team this year, probably the D tackles that are playing.
They're very good at that spot.
I know Kinlaw's up and down, inconsistent, but there's enough wow plays where I go, I can deal with him being out of, in the wrong gap here and there.
Yeah, you can't rank the top 10 players on the team this year without ranking him, and I would guess he'd be in the top 5 because of the number of really good plays.
Yeah, so that's tough. But in general, I think the point applies, right? Where if you had a close to a perfect track record, and it's like, well, I'm not going to question playing time with you guys because look at all the good that's happening. It's so bad, I just sort of go, your judgment and what you see, I don't really care as much. I don't put as much weight on that now. Like, you got losing coverage. This needs to be thought of as the 3-10 team with 5 losses by more than 21 points. That's this cast of characters. You're now 1-0 with that group here of late, and that's swell. I'm really excited for you. And this NFC's tournament is really, really neat. But this is a 3-10 team that needs a lot of changes. So I'm not as concerned about your evals at the moment.
I got 3 more. I'll go rapid fire through these. These are reasons to keep watching, reasons to invest in Commanders Eagles on Saturday at 5 p.m. I added this one to the list today. Brandon Coleman, left tackle.
There you go.
Brandon Coleman gets a start. I thought he was fine last year. I didn't think they had to replace him. It was nice that they did, and mm-hmm. I'm glad they did because Tunsil is a superstar, and I would pay him all of the money. But Coleman could have been your right tackle. They drafted a right tackle. Now he's a guard. He didn't play guard at as high a level. This is the Mikey Sanristil thing.
Mm-hmm.
They want him to be one thing, right? I guess for the vision here for Coleman is guard, but he's proven to be better. It's actually kind of similar with Sanristil. They want him inside. He's better outside. Brandon Coleman, same kind of deal, it seems like. Let's take a look at him at guard and see what it looks like. He could be their sixth offensive lineman for the future, as you were pointing out. Their swing tackle, if they sign Chris Paul. Or maybe he plays at such a high level that you go, are we sure we don't want to let Chris Paul walk and give this guy a chance? I'm adding him to the list. And here's one. I don't know how many people have thought about this one. But you know my sneaky infatuation with like kicker competitions. And I don't know why, but I get sized for field goal.
Like, you do like it.
Does he make it? Does he not? Let's kick from length. Let's see what kind of distance this guy has. I don't know anything about Jake Moody yet. He's been here how many weeks? 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Do we know anything more about Jake Moody than we did when he got here? They have not challenged him purposefully. Quinn has said that. They didn't want to try the 57-yarder or whatever because they didn't want that to be his first kick, which I totally agreed with and understood. He does not kick well from 50 and beyond. So when they've been in those situations, they've been a little more 2024-esque in going for it. But can we use these games to figure out if this is my kicker next year worthwhile or if I need to go spend money on the veteran market? Isn't that the whole point of these games? I'm kicking as often as I can,
yeah, one would think, yeah,
from as deep as I can to just see, can this guy do this?
That's a smart point. I wouldn't have thought of that, but you're right. I mean, I didn't love the not going for kicks with the new kicker because I thought we were in this phase that we're in now then, but now we're especially in this phase, which is the just try it. Who cares if it doesn't work? That's the phase you're in. That should be the mantra going into it. They could take down some of the murals, some of the catchphrases, and this should be more, who cares? Give it a shot. And smack that before you go into the field.
The difference for me is twofold. Not only have they been eliminated since, which I didn't care that much about because they weren't making it anyway, but the big difference for me was that Jaden Daniels was playing still. And so I was making all decisions based on, I got him, I'm going for the fourth, I'm giving him that shot. I care more about testing him and getting him right than my kicker. Now, with all due respect to Marcus Mariota, Jake Moody moves up that list. But if you guys want to chime in, why are you going to still watch? 800-636-1067. Tailgate Ted, what keeps you coming back for more?
Brad, you pretty much stole all the reasons why I'm still watching. Right? I want to see, is Treylon Burks, is he going to be an actual option as a number two next year? Right, and I was unbelievably frustrated watching Ben Sennett play last week because I felt all he did was block. And then the pass routes he was out there, one was at his feet, and then, okay, one he actually caught. But why did they take him so high, right? And you hit it, Brandon Coleman, right? What's going on with this kid? We invested so much in him last year, and I get Chris Paul's done well, but is he an asset that we can count on down the road or maybe leverage to get more assets in a trade someplace else? That's what I want to watch. Like, I'm sorry, but I appreciate everything that, you know, what's his name? Oh, I'm driving crazy now. Bobby Wagner has done for us, but he's not the future.
Yep.
Jordan McGee is.
That's my answer, Ted.
Medrano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
Medrano getting a defensive snap at some point would be nice.
And that's what I'm into. So the two that I would add to, I would say Jordan McGee doesn't have to beat the whole thing. I understand you have to have some deference to the gold jacket superstar, you know, culture building Bobby Wagner. He deserves our respect, quite frankly. But that doesn't mean that Jordan McGee plays 21% of snaps. There's got to be a happy medium where, all right, Bobby, you're the coach this possession. Jordan, you got the green dot. You are the middle linebacker for this series in the second quarter, this series in the third quarter. Get him some meaningful reps and time. I don't think that's a huge ask.
Let's let Bobby call the plays.
Yeah, why not? Seriously.
Give him the clipboard and say, call the plays.
Yeah, put the headset on. He can go sit next to Joe Witt, wherever he is.
Cover up your mouth with the IHOP menu. You get to call the blitzes this series.
And Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt is my other answer. Now, you're going to go, we saw him a bunch. Haven't we seen him? Here's what I want to see specifically. Pass game Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. I would like to see him trusted to pass pro, trusted to make some receptions or attempts therein. They don't right now. That's pretty clear because he's not asked to do it. He comes out of the game when it's passing time. Let's try some of those things. I bet you he's not that great right now. You know what a great thing to do is? Get some film and get some what are called repetitions, doing those things that he's going to have to do at some point to be a complete back in this league. I want pass game, Bill. We haven't gotten much of that.
That'd be nice. Three to go. Starting Saturday, 5 p.m. in Landover, Maryland for the Commanders. Let's look at the NFL playoff bracket. A massive Thursday night football game in the NFC West tonight will determine who the number one seed in the NFC is going into the penultimate week of the year. That's next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor, ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Tomorrow, the show is out and about on a field trip Friday. We are at Pupatella Pizza in Leesburg, right off Route 7 there. Pupatella Pizza, what an awesome spot. We are going to be eating pizza, hanging out, talking football with listeners. We're going to be there from 2 to 6:30. So if you're in the Leesburg area, come on out and kick it with your boys.
We simply love Pupatella. And that's a really, really nice little location. It's right there, little parking alley. No, I almost got a parking alley. It's
a parking alley. Well, you're a DC guy.
Yeah, it's a parking alley.
Know what a parking lot is. I totally understand.
Yeah, you know, a parking alley. What? Anyway, nice little parking lot. You'll see the little tiny Italian car there right in the front. Just good appies. They're going to treat you so well. I love that place.
That is a good little bit that they do, too. Yeah. The little car right out front.
Is it a Fiat? I forget what it is.
It looks like a Fiat. I don't know if it actually is or if there's like an Italian version of it.
But it's like, it's like the tiny little guy.
It's like the little thing that they drove an Italian job to pull off the heist. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. I know exactly what you're saying.
They put all the gold bars in it, but it could still weigh not enough to trigger anything.
Because it's like if you're trying to figure out, is that Pupitel on the right? Is it up here? Is it next? And then you'll see that car, I think, most of the time before you actually see the name of the restaurant. That's how you know.
Tonight, Thursday Night Football, Danny, we got ourselves a masterpiece of a matchup.
And a weather situation, too, I might add.
Developing?
Swirling winds. Upwards of 40 miles an hour. Some rain as well in Seattle.
Okay. 11-3 Rams, 11-3 Seahawks, tied atop the NFC West. Now, the Rams currently have the tiebreaker because while Seattle outgained them and maybe outplayed them in stretches of a game those two teams played a few weeks ago, Sam Darnold threw four interceptions. The Rams won the game going away. The Seahawks could pull back even, though, in the head-to-head, take the tiebreaker away, and be the number one team, not just in the West, but in the conference where they win in this game tonight. I'm actually picking the underdog Seahawks against my better judgment. I think the Rams are better, but they lose Davante Adams to injury. He's got a hamstring. He is doubtful to play in this game. I don't think there's any way he goes after seeing the injury he suffered this past weekend against the Lions. But on top of that, and you're going to be wrong a lot, clearly, yep, but in these pick'em type games, Danny, when it's a short week, Thursday night football, I go with the home team that doesn't have to travel. It's not like the Rams are flying 3,000 miles cross-country or anything, but still, you're packing up shop, you're going to a different team's place on a Thursday with very little practice and time on the grass. The Seahawks just get to sleep in their own beds and hang out. I think the rest in a week like this late in the season is significant. So I'm going to say the Seahawks end up as underdogs winning this game tonight.
I mean, their resumes couldn't be more similar. I mean, the win that the Rams had over Seattle, I thought the Rams got outplayed in that one more significantly. But the turnovers were the difference, of course. 21-19 game, Seattle, you know, is still itching from that. This just feels like a group, or these two teams, doesn't feel like one's going to win two games in this matchup. They feel a little bit too even for me. Like, it just feels natural that Seattle would win this one potentially at home. But again, who can deal better with potential huge wins and the like, not having Davante Adams, especially for that kind of goal line cheat code that they have, where it requires two defenders, which opens up a lot of other stuff, and a pretty good offensive mind. This guy named Sean McVay, pretty sharp guy over there, the offensive gentleman in L.A. So to me, though, I feel like Seattle is going to win this game. And again, you'll end up being wrong, of course, because it's Thursday Night Football and where crap happens.
Remaining schedule for these two teams the rest of the way, I would say both teams are probably going to win their final two games. The Rams play at the Falcons in Atlanta, and then they host the Arizona Cardinals. So if they lose tonight, let's say they're 11-4, mm-hmm, I've got them finishing 13-4. Seattle, with a win, plays Carolina on the road. Tougher game, but still winnable. And then in San Francisco. Now, that game likely would not be for the division, and the Niners, if they couldn't catch Seattle, might be resting some starters there. So that would be maybe an easier version in San Francisco in week 18 of the Niners than you'd normally get. But you could say that they have a tougher two games. I think both of their games are tougher in each given week than what the Rams are playing. So you could see them losing one of those, meaning they have to win this one. But I think both could pretty easily run the table. If they win tonight, they'd have, I think it's like a 74% chance of winning the NFC West. But looking at the conference standings now for a moment, what's funny is, typically, division or wild card is a huge deal because of, you know, getting a home game in round one. I actually don't think it really matters at all in round one this year, whether you win your division or you're a wild card team. Because whichever NFC West team does not win the division is going to go on the road to the Tampa Bay Bucs or Carolina Panthers. And you would be a heavy favorite. I think they're going to be a 6.5-point favorite, something like that.
Yep.
Hard to imagine the Rams or the Seahawks losing in Tampa or in Charlotte, especially, against Carolina. It just matters a lot more after that. You get a bye instead of playing in week one. So for a Rams team, as an example, that doesn't have Davante Adams for a few weeks maybe, that's massive. And then you have home field throughout. So when you do have to level up against Philly or, you know, Seattle, L.A., whichever team we're talking about, San Francisco, Green Bay, Chicago, whoever it is, you're doing that in your building. If you're the Rams, you get to play on carpet indoors. You don't have to go play that snow game in Philly that cost you your chance at the Super Bowl last year.
That's right.
So it is massive in the end, but I think in terms of round one, both of these teams, either by way of bye or the road game at the NFC West, which is going to be the four seed, you're going to advance almost certainly.
So it's one of those years. It feels like last year to a degree. Philadelphia was a cut above, so bear with me. But the lower seeds a lot of times seem to be the better teams here. We look at Seattle at 5, San Francisco currently at 6, and Green Bay at 7. Now, I know no Micah Parsons, but still, that Green Bay group is pretty formidable. They're, whatever it is, a half game behind Chicago, who's the 2 seed. That's a great 7 seed draw, right? If you're the 7, you go, that's no problem. We'll take Chicago. Imagine San Francisco having to go play Philly in round one. They're not pushovers by any stretch, but that's not your older brother's Philadelphia Eagles, right? I mean, they're not great right now. They're sort of crumbling around them. And then whoever wins the NFC South is in there by default. So this NFC West is so strong, and plus the NFC North, that's basically who the playoffs are among.
I guess I shouldn't sleep on the fact that San Fran could still win the division too, because they're 10-4 and they beat Seattle in week one. Now they play in week 18, as I mentioned, but that could be a back-to-back wins. They play the Colts on Monday night this week with Phil Rivers at quarterback. They're pretty substantial favorites. They'll win that game. Then they play the Bears, yep. Toss-up, tough game. But let's say they beat Chicago. Now you're 12-4 going into the Seattle game. If you beat them, that's 2 wins over them, and you have a tiebreaker. And, oh, by the way, even if they win their next 2 Rams-Panthers, you've caught them. So they control their own destiny against Seattle. I'd have to look up the numbers on if they control their own destiny against the Rams. Against San Francisco, they split,
I believe.
The first time.
Lost them the second time.
So, yeah, so they split. So now you got to go into the division schedule after that. In the division, the Rams are 3-1. San Francisco in the division is 4-1. So they control their own destiny.
So, if they beat Seattle, again, this is where it gets convoluted. If they beat Seattle, let's say Seattle beats the Rams. If they beat Seattle, then you start going into the divisional record, et cetera. Seattle would have 2 losses. San Fran would only have 1. That might do it right there, but if it's a different permutation, you start looking at conference record, right? Or is that just for playoff seeding?
Well, if they win out, I think they probably would win the division, but they're hoping—
because that would include a win over Seattle.
Exactly, yeah. But they're hoping for a Seahawks win over the Rams, the Niners are.
Yeah.
Because they already definitively have the path, whereas they've split with the Rams, they've won the only game they played with Seattle. You'd beat them a second time, and you'd have that tiebreaker over them.
And the Niners have a better NFC resume than both the teams that are they're behind. If that makes any sense.
What a job by Kyle Shanahan again.
Seriously.
With all those injuries.
Yeah. 2 of their 4 losses, talking about the Niners, are to AFC teams, whereas both Seattle and LA have 3 NFC losses already between them.
If everything remains chalky, the Rams would get the bye. Let's say they win tonight. They're the 1 seed.
No, absolutely.
The matchups in the first round would be Bears-Packers for the 3rd time in 5 weeks or something. They're about to play this week for the 2nd time in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But Chicago would play Green Bay in a 2-7 game in Chicago at Soldier Field. We're literally going to see that game coming up. Then you'd have the Eagles in a 3-6 against San Francisco at the Link. I would actually pick the Niners over the Eagles in that game.
Yeah, whoever finishes 6th, that they have to go to Philadelphia, I would pick either Seattle, San Fran, or LA, however it gets jumbled in the NFC West.
What about Green Bay?
I mean, I can't,
them too.
Put together exactly
Chicago?
What they said.
No.
There was definitely
I don't trust
them.
They just went to the Link and dominated.
I know. I don't trust it yet.
Okay.
This isn't like
I don't buy what I'm seeing from the Eagles offense. They had a great game against the Raiders. Everyone has a great game against the Raiders. Mm-hmm. I got to see a lot more out of Jalen Hurts. But right now, first team out in the NFC is the Lions at 8-6, who are very much still in the mix, but no margin for error, especially after losing to the Rams. They must win out, and they'd get some of the help they need by doing so because they play the Bears still, but they would probably also need a little bit of other help. But they've got the Steelers at home this weekend, can't let up, then at the Vikings, who they lost to earlier in the year, remember, and then they're at the Bears at Soldier Field. I worry about that game for them. I think that could be. I've said for a few weeks, I actually believe that may turn into the last game played on Sunday night in Week 18. There's always that one game for a playoff spot. I think that could be Lions-Bears. But if it's Jared Goff outdoors on like a 10-degree night at Soldier Field, that's the opposite of when he has played well in his career. That would be a heavy lean toward Chicago. And then non-wildcard division, Carolina, outside looking in because they're tied with the Bucs for the NFC South. But those teams, Bucs, Panthers, you're basically getting in as the division winner, or you're not getting in at all.
Yeah, that's the path.
You're just not good enough wild card wise.
It's right now win percentage in common games is the tiebreaker for Tampa Bay. So, how much can that change in the last couple of weeks? I mean, obviously it changes. If they end up tied somehow, which is impossible because, as you said, they play this week. So I think the winner of this game, assuming everybody kind of holds serve, has, you know, the percentage is one of those we talk about this. The percentage of you winning the division or percentage of you getting the postseason, it's going to jump astronomically whoever wins this game this week. I know they play twice in the last 3 weeks, but this is kind of one of those tipping point games.
Pupatello Leesburg, the site of the show tomorrow from 2 to 6:30. Spread the word. We're Grant and Danny. Next, I want to get into something the Commanders are getting a little heat for from Hard Knocks and one of their meetings that was shown in the episode that took place on Tuesday night. I don't really understand why anyone would be bothered by this. I think it's ludicrous, but we'll talk about that next on G&D. Remember, 20 minutes from now, the Nats have a new general manager. Mark Zuckerman's got some thoughts on the staff they are putting together. This is The Fan. Pierre-Luc Dubois will not be in action tonight, out with an extended stay on the IR, injured. But the Caps have a huge game this evening. Caps and Wiz both in action tonight. Capitals have lost back-to-back games, given up 5 goals, outscored 10-1 in those 2 contests. On the road, they are home tonight at Capital One Arena to take on the Maple Leafs. We'll get you a preview with John Walton coming up in our Beltway Blitz at 4 o'clock. Nets conversation with our buddy Mark Zuckerman at 3. They hired a new GM. He's 31 years old. We'll talk to Zuck about that in about 15 minutes right here on The Fan. Reminder, we're out at Leesburg's Pupatello Pizza tomorrow from 2 to 6:30 for a Friday field trip. Danny, I wanted to get into the heat Washington's been taking. Nothing serious or overly notable from the league, but just the reaction around the NFL from fans I think has been foolish about the segment that showed Washington's defense getting ready for the Giants last week on Hard Knocks. It actually dropped on Tuesday night. But last week, they were preparing for Jackson Dart, who's had concussion problems, doesn't protect himself. We've talked about it on the show. It's been a national talking point. He is, I would say, of all the quarterbacks in the league, the worst at avoiding contact right now.
Yeah, and it's almost like a point of pride. And I'm going, that's adorable. Good for you. It's not a toughness contest. It's a survivability contest, and you're losing. Again, and it's also, I don't think he's being helped a ton in that regard. I mean, a lot of, you know, quarterback power, goal line type stuff where it's like, yeah, go ahead and smash in there, buddy. And then we're surprised he's got to go to the blue tent for the 5th time in a handful of weeks.
Somehow, some way, the interview portion of Hard Knocks that we used to see when you were looking at, you know, bringing in a player or whatever, or the cut where you used to actually wave a player. Like, they've gotten rid of some of that because it's just too much. It's a bridge too far. And now the one thing we still get in the in-season version is seeing the meeting room and seeing the coaches talk to the players. But I guess people want to ruin that too because they want to take great issue with very, very normal coaching points. But this is what happened, and everyone's bothered by this idea that Dan Quinn and Joe Witt, who you'll hear in this clip, point out that Jackson Dart doesn't protect himself, that he often stays in bounds along the sideline, and that Washington should be prepared for that, and that they should try to hit him, and that they should try to get him to fumble. That's a pretty normal thing to be coached up on in the violent game that is the NFL. But you listen to this clip from the Hard Knocks meeting room in Washington's facility, and you tell me if they said anything that was a bridge too far.
And the last piece, QB, all right? When he's out here, he is a running back first. So this is a good hit by Ellis onto the sideline, all right? He is not looking, all right, to go down and get into the slide. So we got to go out ahead of fellas, all right?
The quarterback is a very competitive dual threat guy, okay? He will try to run the ball like a running back. He will try to run you over. He will try to stiff arm. He doesn't really run out of bounds. He doesn't slide a whole bunch, okay? We can get the ball off of him. The ball is life. It is air, and we need it.
So that was Joe Witt there saying some of the things he honestly said in his first press conference, which is a little bit alarming that, like, the best of clip of Joe Witt's press conference is the only thing we hear from his meeting in year 2, 15 weeks in.
What's my line? Let me check my back pocket. The ball is life.
But seriously, what does Jackson Dart do? He does run like a running back. He is going to try to punish you. He will stiff arm you. He will lower his shoulder.
Yeah, they're in the middle of complimenting the guy, by the way.
You should know that.
He's tough as nails. He doesn't run like a quarterback looking to get down. He's looking to initiate contact. He runs like a running back. He's not shying away from stuff. He's not going into a slide. Okay, is everyone all right?
Vic, that's the whole clip, right? That's it? Oh, that's the whole. That's everything they said. There's not a part that you edited out where they talked about a bounty paying someone if he gets knocked out of the game or wanting him in the blue tent. There was no clip that you edited.
No, that is as you heard and saw on TV.
Right. That's a nothing burger. Mm-hmm. That's a football coach telling his football players that the quarterback will embarrass you if you act like he is Peyton Manning scrambling, because he's not. He's a little more Josh Allen. He wants to lower his shoulder and run your ass over. And they're preparing you for that, because guess what would happen if they didn't? A guy rolls up thinking it's a quarterback. He's about to slide. He knocks you to the ground or stiff arms you in the next week like he's Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
And you get made fun of all over the internet for 3 weeks. And, oh, by the way, more importantly to those coaches, they don't care that much about that, you give up the touchdown because you didn't tackle him. Or you thought he was running out of bounds and he didn't, so you didn't finish the play and he goes for 10 or 20 more yards. That's coaching. There is nothing derogatory said about the person, the player. There is nothing dirty said here. There is no, like, since bounty scandal, I think everyone's on this hyper focus. Like, you can't talk about hitting the quarterback. By the way, only because this is a quarterback is anyone talking about this. But this is an absolute nothing story. Nothing story.
I thought at the time, and I got in a lot of arguments about this, that bounty gate scandal was the most overwrought, hand-wringing, pearl-clutching, weird situation ever. I understand it, you know, violated CBA rules, I suppose, that a couple hundred dollars may have changed hands. But I got news for you. There are 32 meeting rooms this week where the defensive coordinator, defensive line coach, linebackers coach, whomever, is discussing ways to hit the quarterback and bring him to the ground. It's the single best defensive strategy there is. It's the most important thing defenses do on a play-in, play-out basis. I got news. Your quarterback in your city is the target of the defense. They need to hit him. That's how you disrupt passing games, disrupt timing, disrupt those throws. You hit him enough times, he gets scared. He gets rid of the ball prematurely. He's hurried. He rushes. That's where turnovers happen. So, yeah, this week, your quarterback is the target of the defenders and the defensive coach. The rough language that some people, you know, use in locker rooms and places we don't talk about at parties, if it ruffles your feathers, you got to change the channel. Like, sorry, they're talking about it respectfully. Like, this dude is tough as nails. He's not looking to go down. He'll deliver some punishment. We got to be ready for that.
I do hate,
I can't imagine,
when we clamor for the access and then with what we get to hear and see, we get bothered. You want to be in the meeting room, but you don't want the coach to say the F word. You know what I mean? Like, Who are you? You asked to be here. You don't like it? Get out of here. By the way, kudos to Jackson Dart, because one of the media members in New York asked a question about this as if he should be bothered. Like, was it in any way offensive to you, or did you take issue with what they said? By the way, stop asking that question. It's ridiculous. But Jackson Dart handled it pretty well.
No, absolutely. Absolutely not. I mean, Kirby Smart said the exact same thing every time that he played against me. So did Nick Saban. So did every coach that I played in college. So this is nothing new. You know, just try to, you know, go out there, play smart, and be available for your team.
What did they say? Did they say stuff like, you know, he's not going to slide, we have to hit him? I mean, what kind of stuff did Kirby Smart and Nick Saban?
I mean, I can't, you know, put together exactly what they said, but there was definitely a lot of interviews that, you know, you guys can, you know, we can all go back and look at, and this isn't like a new thing that's been brought up in my career.
How would he know what the coach of the opposing team told
him? Were you there in those rooms when the guys from other schools were talking about you? My God. Just begging for something salacious.
The 35-year-old Nats team president, Paul Toboni, and their 33-year-old manager, Blake Butera, have a new general manager to work side-by-side with. He's a 31-year-old. We'll talk about that next with our buddy Mark Zuckerman. Also, next segment, Laremy Tunsil is out against the Philadelphia Eagles. How much does that change things with how Cliff Kingsbury is going to call this game? We'll get to that in about 15 minutes right here on The Fan.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.